What's up, college baseball fans? Welcome to episode 7 of the 2020 season of the 11.7 podcast. Today's episode, we are recapping all of the weekend action from week one, including we're going to have player of the week, team of the week. We're going to release our new top 25 rankings. And we're also going to talk about a little bit of the fun stuff, like some umpire controversies and a 15-run inning with only one extra base hit. So you guys stay with us, and we're going to touch on all of the fun subjects from this first weekend of action. Let's go. Welcome back, college baseball fans, and thank you for listening to our first weekend summary episode. We're going to do this every Sunday night, so you guys can have it ready for Monday morning when you guys drag into work. So I'm here today with Dimitri. Dimitri's back, and him and I watched probably 20 hours combined of college baseball this weekend. So, well, actually 20 hours each. We were all over the boards watching all the fun games. So, Dimitri, what's up?
What up, college baseball fan? And thank you, Ben. It's always an honor.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And so today, like I already kind of touched on it, we're going to release our top 25. We did not release a preseason top 25 because we kind of like to use our eyeballs a little bit. We like to watch the teams play and kind of weigh our options from there. And, of course, our top 25 isn't going to be only stats-based. It's going to be like if a team went 1-2 this weekend, for example, Vanderbilt, we're not going to drop them from number 1 to number 22. Like, that's just ridiculous. We know the talent levels on all these teams, and we know kind of where they're going to stand at the end of the season. So keep that in mind whenever you're listening to our rankings. And as always, because I remember from last year, they get very controversial. Everybody disagrees on everything. So we like to hear your comments, but Just know it's the first weekend and things are going to change. But I know me and Dimitri are excited to also talk about some of the stud players that are absolutely on a different level right now. Like Heston Kirk said, Spencer Torkelson, Nick Gonzalez. I mean, even like Chris Lanzilli of Wake Forest. Like, those guys had incredible weekends. We had a cycle this weekend. We have a 15-run inning. We had, I don't know, just a lot of cool things that I missed. You know, stuff that you don't get other than college baseball. So, all right, Dimitri. So, where did you want to start today? You want to go ahead and release the top 25?
I think we should do the top 25, dive into a little bit, and then break away from there. So, yeah, so everybody understand kind of what happened at first.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll talk about the top 25 and what each team did this weekend. So I guess we'll just start with number one, because sometimes last year we started with 25, but we're just going to start with number one and work our way down to 25. I think that's it's a pretty fair way to do it. So a lot of people had Louisville number one going into the season. They went 1-2, so we did not put them at number one. In fact, we actually put your favorite team, the Miami Hurricanes, number one, which a lot of people have as a front runner to make it to the College World Series. So we have Miami 1. And a big rival of theirs at number two with the Florida Gators. Any comments on both of those teams? They combined for 6-0 this weekend. And, I mean, there was not even a close game.
Miami had a close one Friday night against Louisville. Rutgers, it was a 2-1 game. I mean, they kind of had an early lead, just held on. Lay pitching staff was phenomenal. Brian Van Bell went 6 shutout with 10 Ks Friday night. Looked really good. Miami offensively had like four home runs on the weekend. Adrian Del Castillo hit 2, hit 556 on the weekend. So I think Miami's going to be really good. They are 100% deserving of number one after Vandy and Louisville went down this weekend. Really like them this weekend.
Yeah, no, I like a lot of Miami and Florida this year. We saw the potential with Miami last year, a lot of young guys, that are going to grow into their roles. And even the Florida Gators at number two might surprise some people, but man, they combined for like 34 runs, I want to say, this weekend. They 9 runs on Friday, 10 on Saturday, 15 on Sunday. The Florida Gators broke out some icy white uniforms today that I absolutely loved. Just a nice, clean look. I think Florida, they're definitely going to bounce back because last year, their season, they sucked. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They severely underachieved. And right now, I mean, I think they're a top 5 team in the nation. We have them at number 2 just because of the good weekend they had. But this leads us into next weekend where we're going to have Miami ranked number 1, Florida number 2, and they're playing each other Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that's real exciting to look forward to.
Yep. If you are in the area in South Florida, go to the game. Go get you a Mark Like Shake. Best milkshakes in the country, right? Alex Rodriguez Park. I highly recommend going to catch a game in that series. But going back to Florida, Jack Leftwich was, you know, he was up and down last year. They're young. I mean, Florida's just older. That's all they are. They're older. Jack Leftwich went 6 innings shutout with a punch out. So, I mean, people are going to say, you know, why is Florida so high? They haven't done anything yet. Well, they returned a lot of people, and they're only going to get better. And I mean, yeah. I think they're a top 5 team in the country. I agree.
Yeah, and if you throw out last year, they're still the name brand Florida Gators who won the 2017 College World Series. They're going to be up there in the mix no matter what this year. I can guarantee that. All right, so moving on. Number 3, we have the Louisville Cardinals. I know that people are going to, you know, they're going to dispute this quite a bit. They just lost 2 out of 3 at Ole Miss. But the team that showed up Friday night, that walked into Ole Miss, walked into Swayze Field, led by Reed Detmers, who's an All-American pitcher. You know, Alex Benelis was healthy that day, and they took care of business. And with a couple injuries and, you know, a couple bad breaks for Louisville, you know, they lost the series 2-1. But that doesn't take away the fact that talent-wise, this is a, you know, top 5 talented team in the nation. They have probably the best or maybe second best pitcher in the nation on the squad. So I like Louisville at number 3. There's going to be a ton of people that say, you got to drop them lower than that. You got to drop them because they lost 2 out of 3. Well, I promise you guys, at the end of the season, this is going to be a 50-win club, you know, including postseason, 45 wins during the regular season. They're just too talented, and you can't judge the whole team based off week 1.
You cannot punish a team for going on the road at Ole Miss opening weekend. There's a lot of kinks and whatever the hell you want to call it. Teams are getting ready. Teams are still figuring who's starting. Teams are still figuring out who's their closer. Teams are still figuring out who their 4-hole hitters. Like, you cannot judge a team on opening weekend. Yes, they lost. You got to hold them accountable. But no, Louisville, the top 3 team.
Yeah, and on the other hand, like, I think Ole Miss surprised a lot of people. Ole Miss was ranked by a lot of preseason rankings 25th, 24th. I think they're a lot better than 24th or 25th, and we'll show you guys where they're at in this top 25. But I think that was a matchup for Louisville on the road against the top 15 team. And, you know, they won Friday night, lost a close one on Sunday. Like, and their best hitter was hurt. So...
Benelis is out for a month.
Yeah, so we have Louisville 3 moving on. We got Texas Tech 4, who just absolutely took care of business this weekend, led by freshman catcher Nate Rombach, who hit 5 homers his first weekend in playing college baseball. How incredible is that? Freshman doing it.
That's a hell of a welcome to the show. Welcome to D1 baseball. He said, nah, I got it.
Yeah, he said, nah, this is too easy for me. You got any better levels? Any levels ahead of this one, because this one's too easy. But he'll be at Texas Tech for the next 3 years. So that's a name you better get familiar with, Nate Rombach. I don't know if it's going to hold up all year. I mean, we see every year that freshmen tear it up in the beginning part of the season and then kind of fade off. I'm not saying it's going to happen to him. I'm just saying that right now there's still a lot more he's got to prove. And when the competition gets a little bit better, he might not be a 5-homer every weekend kind of guy. But
I mean, let's be honest, the scouting reports will come out. He'll probably end up being a 270 hitter. Who knows?
Right. No, exactly. But, I mean, I think it's safe to say that he was, at least me personally, my player of the week. I mean, he absolutely torched every single ball. He hit five homers in the weekend and didn't hit a homer on Friday night. They played a doubleheader on Saturday and a game on Sunday. He had a three-homer game and then a one-homer the next game, one homer the next game. So it's pretty cool that he hit five and didn't hit one on opening night.
On that note, people were kind of chirping at us about our three guys in the home run rate. The reason why Rombach was not in that three is because I don't think he will be in the running come May. He's in the lead right now, but I don't think he'll be in the running in May.
I think most college baseball fans would agree with that.
Three.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see him up there, but he is, I mean, in my opinion, there's like five hitters that are on a completely different level than anybody else in the nation. I mean, that's Heston Kerkstead, that's Nick Gonzalez, you got Chris Lanzilli, Spencer Torkelson, and there might be one other person I'm forgetting, but Alex Martin from Vanderbilt. So those five guys, I think, are on a completely different level than anybody else, and it's great to see Nate Rombach tearing it up this early. I mean, I think he would even say he was surprised. So we'll give it a couple more weeks. We'll see if the league makes an adjustment to him, and to see if he can make an adjustment back, because that's what it's all about. But Texas Tech looks like a top two or three team in the country again this year. They've made it to Omaha several times in the last 5 years. We'll expect to see them again there. I mean, I have my doubts for some reason. Something in the back of my head says that they're not going to be as good as last year. But we'll see. They proved me wrong this weekend. Moving on, we got Vanderbilt drops to number five, Georgia 6, Arkansas 7. So those three SEC teams, 5, 6, 7. I felt like it was unfair to drop Vanderbilt too low. They went out west. Yeah, they went out west. I mean, they lost a close one to Michigan and lost a really close one to Cal Poly. Took care of business against UConn.
Hit that two-run homer in the ninth.
Yeah. They lost two late games, and that's going to happen. And they're replacing a lot of new faces. Vanderbilt still, I promise you, they're like Louisville. They lost two games this weekend. But I can guarantee you when it comes April, May, they're going to be up there with the most wins in the country. They're going to be playing good baseball. Talent-wise, they're a top-five team in the country. I felt like it was unfair to judge them for going out west and playing against some quality opponents. And the longer the season goes, I can promise you guys Vanderbilt will be up there. That's a guarantee. Georgia, on the other hand, at number six, I felt like Arkansas 6, Georgia 7, Georgia 6, Arkansas 7. It's too early to tell. Arkansas played against Eastern Illinois, who is not as good as Richmond. But Georgia did struggle a little bit against Richmond. I think Richmond had a chance to win two of those three games. In fact, they were leading in two of those three games pretty late. Arkansas, I mean, they just took care of business against a much weaker team. Heston Kerkstead hit four homers, almost hit a fifth. I spent a lot of time watching those games. In fact, Eastern Illinois actually had a guy, Friday night starter, throwing 98 miles an hour, Dimitri. It was incredible. So he kind of held him in check for a little bit, but Arkansas eventually won the game, I believe, 5-1. So Vandy 6, Georgia 7, Arkansas 8. Those three teams.
Arkansas 7.
Oh, sorry. Vandy 5, Georgia 6, Arkansas 7. That's the way we have them grouped. I think they're all very similar in talent. We'll just see, the longer the season goes, which one of those three teams separates themselves. 8-10, we got Michigan, Auburn, Mississippi State. All three of those teams played really well this week. Michigan surprised a lot of people going 3-1 in that tournament. They beat Vanderbilt, they beat Cal Poly, they beat Arizona State. They lost to UConn today, 7-1, which kind of helped. I mean, if they win that game, they're going to be in the top five of our rankings. But losing 7-1 to UConn kind of ran out of gas. But Michigan, after that incredible postseason run from last year, continues their hot streak and beat some very quality opponents. So Auburn at 9. Auburn went 4-0 against a really good Illinois-Chicago club. Mississippi State also went 3-0. So we have them at 10. Mississippi State kind of had a little bit of problems on Friday against Wright State, who's a good team. But we felt like Mississippi State at 10 is good right now. They're replacing a lot of big names. So they have new faces, and we don't know how they're going to adjust to the college level. So we have them at number 10. After that, we got 11 through 13. We have LSU, Arizona State, and UCLA. LSU loses, they lose one out of the three. Second game of a doubleheader on Saturday, they lose 7-2 against Indiana. But that Friday night game was electric. The box was rocking all weekend. And they look like a team that if they hit like they did Friday and Saturday, like they're going to be a big problem for the SEC. They're a real good team.
LSU brought in a dude named Jaden Hill down in like the sixth inning with like 3-1 or like a 6-1 game, 5-1 game. I don't remember what it was. Dude came in throwing 96-98 effortless. I mean, the dudes had no chance. They had no chance to hit him. And it just showed you how deep those SEC bullpens are. They can roll out a guy at any moment, and he can be a draft guy. He can be a freaking number one at any other school. And it just shows you people, you know, they lost a game, but when it comes down to the end of the season, when it matters, those are the teams that are going to win ball game.
Oh yeah, the depth is the big separator in college baseball. That's why you can see teams maybe win, win one game out of three. That's, you know, maybe, I don't know, but you see upsets all the time in college baseball. But if they play best of three series, most times the better team wins two out of three, and that's just, you know, due to depth. So LSU have them at 11, right behind Mississippi State. We got Arizona State 12. Arizona State, they had a rough patch. I don't even know. It's so early, but they beat Villanova, and then they lost to Villanova. And then they beat Michigan. No, I don't even know who they played. They played in that same tournament with Michigan and Vandy and all of them. But I think they went 2-2 this week. And now I'm doubting myself. I'm going to have to look it up.
Arizona State went 2-2 with a win, a split in Villanova, lost to Michigan, and then they beat Villanova again.
Okay. But I know Spencer Torkelson had a homer in both their first two games. He's a beast, and he's going to – I think he has 50 career homers now in just over two seasons. Or maybe he's like 45. I don't know. But, man, he's a beast. He's going to be up there with Heston Kjerstad and Nick Gonzalez for the home run leaders in the country this year. Arizona State, I think they're favorites for the Pac-12, but there's some people out there doubting them, especially after losing to Villanova. That's a team that you don't want to lose to. That hurts the RPI quite a bit. But UCLA, on the other hand, went 3-0 and took care of business against UC Riverside. UCLA, another team with a lot of new faces, and they played a little bit weaker team. I'm not calling Riverside weak, but they're not one of the better California teams. And so you didn't get to see too much. You didn't get to see too much about what this team's really about. And we'll see. I mean, UCLA is going to be a powerhouse every year just because of their recruiting and their development. But I don't know. We'll see. They have a couple big weekend series coming up. Moving on, we got NC State at 14. Ole Miss jumps to 15. Florida State, after losing Friday night, falls to 16. I don't know if you watched any of the Florida State game, but losing to Niagara, first game with a new head coach, Mike Martin Jr., that's not a good look.
Not good.
Not a good look if you're a Cinnamon Roll fan. And yes, I said Cinnamon Roll. For everybody that listened last year, I think I don't know how it got started. I think I was quoting Jameis Winston. And when I tried to say Seminole, I said cinnamon roll, and people loved it and tweeted at me and stuff like that. So now they're the Florida State cinnamon rolls in my head, and I say it every week. So they played like a bunch of cinnamon rolls on Friday night. That's a fact. Just soft and sweet.
Not ready to go.
Ole Miss, on the other hand, at 15, that's a real good team. Servideo, their shortstop, might be my favorite player in the country now.
Dude, with the bleach blonde hair, get out of here. You need to cut that hair.
Bleach blonde hair, full tattoo sleeve, pimps homers. Like, he's just as swaggy as they come. He's just an SEC shortstop.
He did rake this weekend. I mean, I think he had a home run. I remember which game. He had a whole bunch of knock. But what I remembered was ninth inning today, two outs, man on second. Louisville hit the ground ball to him, overthrows first base, run scored. Now they're up by one. And I was just like, my first reaction was like, man, cut the hair. Cut the hair. Kramer Roberson.
Yeah. Did you see the catch him out or the strike him out, throw him out, double play to end the game today?
Yep. And then he did it. He freaking jumped up and down. All that.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of my favorite series I remember watching. I mean, at least out of like the last two or three years. Like, it was so evenly matched. It was so just back and forth the whole time. I felt like it was good atmosphere at Swayze. And Ole Miss just really proving some people wrong. They hung in with the big boys. Like, they hung in with Louisville, and they actually beat them 2 out of 3. Like, how much more do you want them to show before, like, they get the respect that teams at the top of the rankings are getting? So that's a team to look out for the rest of the year. I felt like NC State took care of business this weekend as well. They played James Madison. They have just a very offensive club, and they didn't make very many errors. They didn't play bad baseball. So that's why we kept them around 14. But, man, just the whole, like, I don't know about you, but, like, 6 through – maybe you can go as far as 17, like ranked 6 through 17, which is Texas A&M sitting in 17. I feel like those teams are so interchangeable. Like, they're all so talented. They're all so, like,
they're so early. I mean, man, you can't really break down each team yet.
Week one rankings are definitely the hardest. It'll only get easier from here. But yeah, we have A&M 17, North Carolina 18. Oh, actually, I'm going to stop at 17. So A&M is 17. And then we go down Old Tobacco Road, because 18 through 21, we were discussing for a long time. They all play in the state of North Carolina. And we don't know what to think about all of these teams. So we just grouped them together. 18 through 21 is North Carolina, East Carolina, Wake Forest, and Duke in that order. And it's just Tobacco Road. 18 through 21 is Tobacco Road. Mix and match whatever the way you want, because these teams seem very similar, and they're going to play each other multiple times each this year, and we'll find out when they play head-to-head. So that's why we're just grouping them together. No, don't argue with us about why North Carolina is 18 and Duke is 21. They're all just grouped together.
Exactly. I mean, it's too early, dude.
It's so early. And then we kind of have three other teams right after that grouped together that all play in the same conference. We have Oklahoma, TCU, and Texas, 22, 23, 24. Texas sweeps Rice. TCU sweeps Kentucky. And Oklahoma, after losing game one to Virginia, storm back and win the next two games. All three of those teams are going to be up in the mix with Texas Tech. And I guess Texas Tech, Oklahoma, TCU, and Texas. And then Baylor right behind them. Like, those teams are going to be very, very good in the Big 12 this year. Personally, I think TCU is going to shock a lot of people. They beat up on Kentucky, which I know they're a lesser SEC team, but still SEC talent. Texas swept Rice, and Rice is a known powerhouse, even though they've had a couple bad years in a row. Oklahoma looked really good against a good Virginia team. I don't know. And then last in our ranking, 25th, we decided to show some respect for Cal Poly. Cal Poly hung in there this weekend with some of the best names.
Cal Poly looked great.
And they played awesome, too. Cal Poly looked like they belonged. And they're a team that they're going to surprise a lot of people the further the season gets down the road, because I think they're one of those teams that's just going to get better as the season goes along. Like, freshman shortstop, I think they're very young on the mound. So to show up this early and prove people wrong, I think they're only going to get better. So just a quick recap of the top 25. We got Miami, Florida, Louisville, Texas Tech, Vandy, Georgia, Arkansas, Michigan, Auburn, Mississippi State, LSU, Arizona State, UCLA, NC State, Ole Miss, Florida State, Texas A&M, North Carolina, ECU, Wake Forest, Duke, Oklahoma, TCU, Texas, Cal Poly. Now that we got all that finished, and we'll have a graphic posted on Twitter and Instagram later tonight about our rankings, let's move on to some of the fun stuff. Like, let's just go ahead and talk about some of these umpires and how bad they were. We had videos.
I'm so sick of it. I thought they were going to leave that in 2019. They're back.
I mean, last year, early in the year, was whenever they were enforcing the hit-by-pitch strikeout rule, where if, like, the batter didn't make an attempt, they'd call him out. So we made fun of that quite a bit last year. This year, we have a guy from Michigan getting tossed out of the game opening day for swiping his bat. Like, it wasn't like one of those swipe your bats where you think the pitch comes in. It's like pitch comes in, disagrees with the call, and he just kind of like drags his bat behind his back foot. And the umpire just gets super offended. I don't know if maybe Michigan said something, but it didn't look like it. And umpire just tosses him. So the umpire's ego needs to just calm down a little bit, man. They're just kids playing ball. You know, they don't care about you. That's the thing. Like, the bat was never thinking about the umpire. Like, he just thought, like, oh, man, that's a bad call. It's not like, oh, my God, you suck at your job. So the umpires just shouldn't care so much about that kind of thing unless they're obviously trying to show them up. Then that's different. But you guys got to go watch the video. It does not look like he's trying to show them up at all. And then, my God, dude, the West Virginia strike three call. That ball was closer to the on-deck circle than home plate. I mean,
dude, that was so bad. The guy who set up inside, pitcher went, missed his spot, went way out. Guy caught it. Catcher was like, oh, my God, he called that a strike. Cool.
It reminded me of the Little League World Series when a pitch would, like, bounce and they'll call it a strike. Or the catcher has to, like, jump up and catch it. I mean, it was just so bad. I feel like the umpire was not in the right headspace when that happened. Like, there's no way he actually thought that was a strike. I think
he just probably had beard with the umpire at F5.
It's what it looked like. It really did. It was so bad. And so both of those videos are on our Twitter account. You guys go check those out. I just wanted to hit on those because I thought they were hilarious. But anyways, moving forward, we have some notable players that we really need to talk about from this weekend. We talked about Nate Rombach a little bit. But his five-homer performance for Texas Tech was incredible, especially for a freshman. I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but I think it's Cale Baker from Ole Miss.
Oh, dude. Hey, that's your Kenny Powers lookalike.
Oh, yeah. He's the Kenny Powers of college baseball right now. Probably the most rootable player across the country. Just mullet, you know, 6 foot, 260, big guy. Kind of reminds me of Sykes Orvis from Ole Miss a few years ago.
Specific words, but he has a large frame.
Very large frame. He rocks the dad bod pretty well, man. It's just it's a great sign. You know, mullet flown out of the back of the helmet, and he hit two homers and just became an instant fan favorite. So Cale Baker, C-A-E-L, that's how I'm pronouncing it. I think it's Cale. He was just a stud for Ole Miss, really helped them win two out of those three games. We also had, let's see, I mean, Heston Kirkstead was 5 feet from hitting five homers this weekend. He had four homers and then hit the bottom of the center field fence. He's a freak. I don't know if there's a better pure hitter in college baseball, especially at the competition level he's playing at. Like, he's going to be putting up stupid numbers in the SEC this year.
You know who impressed me this weekend, dude?
Do what?
Jeff Criswell from Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Criswell's another name that people better get familiar
with. Criswell was up there. He freaking dominated Vandy. I mean, he was wild early in the game, kind of figured it out a little bit, but he's gonna be nice this year. Velo was up there, man. It was loud. He was bringing noise. Breaking ball was decent, but I enjoyed watching him.
No, and he was fun to watch last year in the postseason too for Michigan. Really ignited that run that Michigan had all the way to the College World Series Finals.
He was their number three guy behind Kaufman and Criswell. I mean, Tommy
Henry. Yeah. And then how about, speaking of carrying momentum from last year, Nick Gonzalez of New Mexico State not only tore it up last year in the regular season, went out to the Cape Cod League and tore it up, and now starts the season. I mean, he had a three-homer day today, and people are saying, like, Nick Gonzalez might be a top one, maybe top – I mean, he might go 1-1 overall in the draft. Like, he's that athletic, that pure of a hitter, and people doubt him a little bit because he plays in a weaker conference. But I guarantee you if Nick Gonzalez was, I don't know, the shortstop for the Florida Gators or – I mean, you can pick anybody in the ACC, SEC, he'd be the best player on the field.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
He had a three-homer game today, and I think he hit another homer, 9 RBIs. I mean, the guy is just a pure hitter. He's going to help some major league team in the next 5 years. I can guarantee it. Like, the game just comes too easy for him. We also have Spencer Torkelson, who had a homer in the first two games. The only problem with Spencer Torkelson is I don't know if he's going to see enough strikes to hit 30 homers. But
he got intentionally walked three times today.
Yeah, he walks three times. I'm saying, like, if he got pitched to and didn't get, like, the Barry Bonds treatment, he would hit 30 homers this year. Kind of like what Chris Bryant did, I think it was 2011 for San Diego.
Torkelson had no protection in the lineup. I mean, they're just going to walk him and go after the next guy. If he had, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he has protection, but it's not the Hunter Bishop that he had last year. And it's, I mean, guys are good hitters, but if you're just your choice between one of the best college hitters we've seen in the last 5 years, or maybe like a Pac-12 second team, all Pac-12 player, now you're going to take your chances with the other guy. So Torkelson, in order to hit 25, 30 homers, he's got to hit them in the midweeks when they don't count. And like any kind of like garbage time, I mean, I hate saying that phrase garbage time, but when you're up by 10, down by 10, when you actually get pitched to, you got to take advantage of those situations, because Friday night, seventh inning, down by one, they're not pitching to you, buddy. I'm sorry. But yeah, his numbers are going to be stupid. Like, he's going to have Barry Bonds OPS numbers from like 2003. Like, he's going to be on base 60% of the time this year. I guarantee it. He's that good. He's that good, and he doesn't swing at ball. I mean, he doesn't swing at not strikes, balls.
Did you just say 2003?
Wasn't that when Barry Bonds' OPS was like 1600?
Oh, in the big leagues?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about at Arizona State. I was about to say, buddy, that
boy. No, I'm not that dumb. I was talking about like when I think it was 2003. And I might be off by a year or two, but
yeah.
He had like a 1600 OPS, which is, I mean, it's just unreal. But anyway, so yeah, those are kind of our players of the week. I'm sure there's a couple more we missed, but those guys really stood out to us. Team of the week. I have Michigan, and you told me before the show you have Ole Miss as teams that you have Ole Miss. So I guess we'll each just kind of tell the listeners why we picked each team of the week. I picked Michigan because I was the biggest Michigan doubter just one episode ago. I said Minnesota was going to win the Big Ten. I said you could see teams like Indiana and Iowa and Ohio State potentially surprising people in the Big Ten. And I was like, I think Michigan's going to have a pretty down year. Sophomore slump, as most people would call it. The year after a lot of success, you kind of get brought down to earth a little bit. And, dude, I was absolutely astounded with the comeback win on Friday night against Vanderbilt, beating a really good Cal Poly team, and then coming back and beating Arizona State. Like, those first three wins, my eyes opened up as big as they can be. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, Michigan's doing this again? So, Michigan team of the week for me. I know they lost 7-1 against UConn. That's okay. You're not made to play four games on the weekend. It's hard to go 4-0 on a weekend. I'll look at the first three, and that told me everything I need to know for the rest of the year.
No, I agree. I mean, Michigan had a great weekend. How are they going to do every weekend? We don't know yet. Maybe they just had a good weekend this weekend. I mean, they're going to be good. They're going to be.
I think there's something about Eric Backich that is going to be he'll have a good team and as long as he coaches. He's kind of like the Tim Corbin effect of, like, he recruits some of the best players and he develops players really well. That's a recipe for success in college baseball.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm still sticking with Minnesota.
I think I am too for now, but Michigan really, really surprised me.
Yeah. So anyway, my team of the week this weekend was Ole Miss. Opening weekend, you've got a lot of things to figure out, like I said earlier. It's still not easy just to win at home on the against the freaking number one team in the country, Louisville. But Doug Nikhazy came out. I mean, he had a couple tough breaks here and there. Ball in the gap, two runs scored, broke up in the game on Friday night. But I mean, he looked solid.
He had to pitch under a lot of pressure and stress, though.
Oh, absolutely. Distractions. I mean, you know, everything. He gave up, four runs Friday night?
But there was a point where him and Reed Detmers were going, like, head-to-head, pitch for pitch, competing, and it was awesome to see.
Which is bang, 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 bang. Like, they were just back and forth, punchy, punchy, strikeout, you know. So he was good. But you know who I really liked with Gunnar Hoglund. I mean, he had 7 strikeouts, gave up 3 runs in like 5 innings. But that guy's gonna be good this year.
He's gonna be real good.
Between the two of them, they should win a lot of series. I think they had 2 different guys close out game.
They had the big like 6'8" freshman, right?
Yeah.
I mean, dude, that guy's like he had a little bit of Max Scherzer in him. He was talking to himself on the mound, like just kind of a big. It reminded me of Max Scherzer. And for real baseball fans, they know what I mean. Just borderline psychopath. But I loved it. I think that's what you need in a closer. And he's a big body, too.
Are they going to win the division, win the West? Probably not. But I think they're going to be fine. They're going to be I think they'll win over 500
Do you think they'll host a regional?
Absolutely. I think Ole Miss can host a regional.
And I think the NCAA loves having Ole Miss host regionals, too.
They both raked this weekend. They both had a home run, 2 home runs, whatever it was. Tim Elko put the ball in play. He had a home run. But I think they were deep. They were deep offensively.
They proved a lot of people wrong.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people expected Louisville to go in there, and especially after the win Friday night, to go in there and just sweep the series and kind of put Ole Miss in their place. But – Ole Miss and Mike Bianco, they rallied back. I mean, there was never an easy point in that whole series. And, I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. They won the series at home. But I want to go ahead and, like, respect both of those teams for scheduling each other week one, because most teams will schedule kind of cupcakes and, you know, figure out who their better players are and who's going to perform well and then, you know, gradually – ramp up their competition to get into conference play. But these two teams just said, hey, let's go heads up week one. Let's see who's better.
Roll.
Yeah. I mean, I think Ole Miss is a lot of people's team of the week just because of the way they bounce back. And they're not going to be taken lightly. That's for sure. Like that whole SEC West is going to be just an absolute chaotic mess the whole year. But there's going to be 4 or 5 of those teams that host regionals. So that's just how good the SEC is this year. Dimitri, changing topics here. Actually, wait, before we change topics, I can't believe we didn't give Judd Ward any love earlier in the show for Player of the Week. I mean, the guy hit a cycle game 2, I believe, for Auburn. And that guy, I think he's going to – I mean, it's really early, and I hate saying this, but I think he might lead the SEC in hitting this year. He just barreled everything up, it felt like.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he have a hell of a regional last year at Georgia Tech?
Yeah. No, the whole Auburn starting lineup kind of did.
I think he hit a home run off
We'll have to go back and check, but yeah, I mean, that sounds right. It sounds like I've known the name for a long time, and seeing him hit the cycle, congrats on him. Cycles are, I think they're a little bit overrated, but they're really hard to do. I never hit a cycle, so.
You can't get a third base that quick. Me neither. I stop a second, or if it goes over the wall, I can take my sweet time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So,
third base ain't my repertoire.
Yep. No, getting to third that's a tough task. I'll just pull up at second.
Earn it.
Another thing I want to talk about, and I kind of teased it in the beginning of the show, but Georgia Southern scored 15 runs in the first inning, Dimitri, against Ball State. They had 1 extra base hit, and I actually pulled up the play-by-play for that inning, and I will tell you, it's the funniest thing in the world It's literally the funniest thing in the world to read off. Listen to this. So, listeners at home, let me set the stage. Georgia Southern is hosting Ball State, and it's game two of a doubleheader on Saturday. This is how it starts off. Single, 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 walk, sack fly, double, single, single, error, single, double. Sorry, single, double.
That is crazy.
Out. Like, it's... Let me read it one more time, because I still can't believe this. I don't know if I've ever seen 15 runs in one inning, and if I have, it was with a bunch of homers and doubles and walks and errors. Single wild pitch, single, 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 wild pitch, walk, single, 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 walk, sack fly, single, double, walk, single, fly out, walk, single, error, single, fly out. Like, that is... They should have stopped the game after the first inning, because that is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
No, that's crazy.
Another crazy thing to add on to that, then they went the next five innings and didn't score, and then they scored one in the sixth. But besides the one run in the sixth, nobody else scored the rest of the game. 16-0, 16 hits total, and I think 12 of those hits were in the first inning.
I saw that Georgia Southern scored in four innings.
And, yeah, but they scored 34 runs.
And Ball State scored in like two innings. Georgia Southern had like a 1.8 ERA in the weekend. Ball State had like a 7 ERA in the weekend. And they scored in like four or five frames all weekend.
Yeah, I mean, so Georgia Southern scored 15 in an inning. They scored 6 in an inning. They scored, I think they scored 5 in an inning. Yeah, but you're right. They scored in only 4 innings all weekend, but they outscored them. Let's see, 29-4. Yeah, they scored 29 runs on 4 innings. Like, they only scored in 4 innings. So that's wild to think about. But 15 in the first, man. Off of just singles and one double. I don't know if we'll ever see that again. So I just had to bring attention to that. That's just something that I don't know if we'll ever see again. I really don't. But anyways, last segment we're going to do before we get off the show. We're going to kind of preview some midweek matchups. There's not like a ton of great midweek matchups this week. I found 3 games on Tuesday that were interesting, and I found 3 on Wednesday that were interesting. But I don't know. I think most teams this week tried to play 4 games on the weekend and then kind of take the midweek off. Like, there's not a ton of games scheduled for Tuesday and Wednesday. So there was a lot more teams playing 4 games this weekend, taking the midweek off, and then going into a 3-game series next week. So some different colleges have different approaches on how to approach the first week or two of the season. But anyways, Tuesday we have South Alabama traveling to Vanderbilt. We have Cal Poly traveling to Pepperdine, and Arizona State traveling to Oklahoma State, I believe, unless I wrote that down wrong. Don't judge me, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the Arizona State-Oklahoma State game real quick. That's going to be very offensive, and Oklahoma State played very bad this weekend. They got rolled by Grand Canyon today, like, I don't know, like 10-2 or something like that. It was not pretty. So Oklahoma State has a lot to prove, and Arizona State kind of does too. Like, this is one of those games that early in the season some people might think won't matter, but if one of these two teams is a bubble team and they can show on their resume, like, hey, we beat Arizona State, that gets you in the tournament. Same with like Arizona State, like, hey, you know, we should host a regional because we took care of business against a really good Oklahoma State team, this and that. So these games matter. Vanderbilt has a lot to prove after a 1-2 weekend, and South Alabama is going to go into there, and they're going to expect to win. Like, this South Alabama club is very, very talented. I think they could potentially win the Sun Belt, and Vanderbilt better figure it out, because if they start the season 1-3, there's going to be some heads turning, like, guys, are we all right? Are we going to be fine this year? Are we going to be able to replace some of the talented guys we lost last year? So, and then Pepperdine beat Oregon today. Cal Poly had a good weekend. That's just a good West Coast matchup on Tuesday that I'll be looking forward to. I don't know if it'll be televised, but definitely going to keep up with it a little bit. And then Wednesday, we got Wright State versus Louisville. So Wright State just played a 3-game series at Mississippi State. and then they get rewarded with playing what some people believe the most talented team in the country. So imagine playing Mississippi State three games and then going to play Louisville right after that. Like, that's just a tough four-game stretch, but I guarantee you the Wright State team is loving it. Like, they love playing against good competition. Playing against good competition in really cool ballparks. So Wright State, they actually looked pretty decent this weekend against a good Mississippi State team. I was impressed. We got Louisiana Lafayette versus Tulane. A little battle of, I think it's I-12 that runs through Louisiana, not too far. Lafayette and New Orleans. So both of those teams are very offensive, and they both came off pretty good weeks this week. So that's a really good Wednesday matchup that I think has a chance to be televised. I haven't looked yet, but if it is, I'll be watching it. And then East Carolina Campbell. Campbell's kind of been one of those mid-major teams the last few years that have really shown some good wins and playoff appearances and stuff like that. And then East Carolina, a lot of people expect them to make a run for Omaha. So those are the midweek matchups. I think that, I mean, there's a ton of games that are like, you know, I'll pull them up real fast. Just very lopsided matchups on Tuesday and Wednesday that they're going to be absolute, like, they're going to be like 15-0 games.
I don't see too many. I mean, Nickel State always played the LSU tough, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think they beat them last year.
Yeah, they play them Wednesday night on the road. So LSU will, you know, have a little game they got to get ready for. I do like South Alabama. That will be – Vanderbilt's got to get going a little bit.
Stanford-Santa Clara is a game I missed on Tuesday that's going to be really good. Both of those teams are talented. Santa Clara has a guy that has four homers already this year too. So they're going to be – and Stanford's got to kind of make up for that Cal State-Fullerton weekend. Cal State-Fullerton won 2 out of 3 and should have probably won today too. So, but, I mean, besides that, I mean, like, Florida-Jacksonville's all right. But
Fullerton might have been that last team out of the top 25 this week.
Yeah, Fullerton and Cal Poly were battling out for the 25th spot, but I decided to reward Cal Poly. I think they're going to have a really good season this year. Absolutely. But yeah, no, you guys tweet us your thoughts. Let us know everything. Let us know where we went wrong. Let us know what you guys agree with. If there's anything we left out from this weekend, let us know so we can talk about it on Tuesday or Wednesday when we record the next show. But yeah, we had a really fun time watching college baseball, man, and it just brings me so much joy to be able to sit on the couch or go to a game every weekend from here until June 27th when the College World Series starts, I think, actually when it ends. But yeah, Dimitri, I mean, we're going to have a fun time this year.
It's going to be a blast. I mean, this is just the beginning.
It's just the beginning. I mean, that's what gets me so excited. So with that being said, you guys let us know what your thoughts are because we love engaging with you guys and we're here for you. And here's to just a good season. You guys enjoy.
Yep. Y'all have a good one. See you next weekend.